Well, good evening, everyone. DSCARS, Zalco Material Services, that is conducted under the guidelines of the DSCARS organization and further follows the rule outlined in FCC 97, freedom of practice. DSCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Whiskey 8 Mike Whiskey, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at www.scarsvoip.com. You have many net controls this evening. I'm merely opening it up. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My name is Kathleen. I'm located in the city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, where we currently have a temperature of 67 degrees. It was a high of about 71, and, you know, it's drizzling right now. But prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, come aboard. No emergency traffic, and that's always a great thing. But how about anyone celebrating their birthday? Maybe today, maybe this week, maybe last week, or maybe this upcoming week, that'd like to come aboard so we could say happy, happy.
Whiskey 4, Romeo, Foxtrot, Juliet.
All right. Roger, what are you celebrating? Is there a birthday? Is there an anniversary or something else?
Well, Charlotte's birthday was on the 13th. And I haven't had a chance to let anybody know. So she's still in rehab. She's recovering, and she's doing quite well, I might add. And, yeah, her birthday was on the 13th of March. Over.
I knew that, Roger. She actually sends me a message almost daily on her progress, and she told me that about her birthday. And so I wished her a happy birthday. So I at least wished her a happy birthday, so, and I know she's improving, so that's a great thing. So is there anyone else that's celebrating anything special that would like to come aboard? All right, I guess I want to celebrate after several weeks of being under the weather and not being able to breathe and not coughing a lot. I have actually improved. And so I asked Dave if I could read the preamble tonight. So hopefully my voice sounds almost like Ms. Kathleen, but it's been a long struggle for me. But I am on the mend. But this is the Thursday Informational Net, TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. Do you want to advise all stations that if you have been connected, if you have spoke tonight, you will be part of that recording that usually within a week is put on the website. So hopefully you'll enjoy the program this evening. The topic is about noise, the enemy of modern radio. So without further ado, I'm going to throw it over to GW8SZL so he can begin the program. And thanks so much for allowing me to open it up. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Dave, are you ready to take over?
K6SUN from GW8SNL. Yes, I most certainly am there, Kathy, and thank you very much for doing the preamble. Really do appreciate it and glad to know you're feeling a lot better. Okay, good evening, everyone, and welcome to this month's TIN on the SCARS VOIP network. We've got an interesting topic lined up, something every one of us has experienced at some point while tuning across the bands. It is, of course, noise. And now it has become a real part of operating in the modern radio world. Tonight is not just about the problem, but about understanding what is really happening and how we can work around it as operators. So sit back and enjoy the program. and we will get things underway by bringing in our first narrator, and that is Declan, 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel, who is with me here in Newport, South Wales in the UK. 2W0, KYH from GW8SNL. That's all yours. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. So, I want to start tonight with a simple question. When you tune across the bands and hear that constant rushing sound, that buzz, that hiss, or that strange electronic texture beneath every signal, are you really hearing poor propagation, or are you hearing the modern world itself? Many operators today share a similar experience. Stations that once sounded clear now struggle to rise above the background noise. Signals seem weaker, contacts feel harder to make, and the bands sometimes appear lifeless. Yet when comparing notes with operators hundreds or even thousands of miles away, they report perfectly workable conditions. So what has changed? Tonight's topic, Noise, the Enemy of Modern Radio, explores a challenge that has quietly reshaped amateur radio over the last several decades. Unlike fading propagation or solar cycles, noise does not arrive dramatically. It accumulates slowly, device by device, charger by charger, light by light, until one day the band sounds different from how we remember them. This presentation is not about blaming technology. Many of the very innovations creating noise also enable modern amateur radio, digital modes, computers, networking, and global communication systems. Instead, our goal tonight is understanding. When we understand noise, we stop fighting blindly and begin operating intelligently. We will explore what noise really is from a technical perspective, how it enters our stations, why modern receivers reveal it more clearly than ever before, and most importantly, how operators worldwide are learning to work successfully despite it. Along the way, you may recognize experiences from your own shack. Mysterious increases in background noise, and unexpected improvements when operating portable, or the satisfaction of finally tracking down a troublesome interference source. If there is one idea to keep in mind throughout tonight's discussion, it is this. Noise is not merely an obstacle, it is a technical puzzle, and amateur radio operators have always excelled at solving puzzles. So let's begin by answering a deceptively simple question. What is noise? Before we go further, it is worth slowing down slightly and looking at noise from a more technical perspective, because understanding what noise actually is at an electrical level helps explain why modern solutions sometimes succeed and sometimes fail. In electronic terms, noise is any random or unwanted electrical energy present within a receiver's passband. Unlike a transmitted signal, which contains structured information, noise is largely uncorrelated energy. It has no intentional modulation and no meaningful pattern, yet it occupies the same spectrum space as desired signals. At the most fundamental level, noise exists even in perfect equipment. Thermal agitation of electrons inside conductors produces what is known as thermal noise, sometimes called Johnson-Nyquist noise. Every resistor, every amplifier stage, and every component generates a tiny amount of random electrical motion simply because temperature is above absolute zero. This establishes a theoretical minimum noise floor that no receiver can ever eliminate. Engineers describe this limit using the concept of noise power density, approximately 174 dBm per hertz at room temperature. While that number may sound abstract, it represents a hard physical boundary. Even a perfectly shielded receiver in a laboratory cannot hear signals below this level without increasing bandwidth or integration time. Older receivers were often limited by internal noise generated by their own circuitry. Vacuum tubes and early semiconductor designs added significant hiss. Modern receivers, however, have dramatically lower internal noise figures. Ironically, this improvement means external noise sources now dominate performance. A useful analogy is improving eyesight. When vision becomes sharper, imperfections in the environment become more noticeable. Modern radios do not necessarily encounter more noise internally. They simply reveal the noise already present around us. One experienced engineer once remarked that today's receivers are often too good for their environment. That observation captures a major shift in amateur radio over the last several decades. In radio terms, noise is any unwanted signal that interferes with the reception of the signal you actually want to hear. That sounds straightforward, but noise comes in many forms and behaves differently, depending on frequency, location, and time of day. There is natural noise, which is atmospheric static generated by lightning discharges across the planet. Even storms thousands of miles away contribute to the background hiss we hear on lower HF bands. There is cosmic noise, originating from solar activity and distant astronomical sources. For decades, these were the dominant limitations on reception. Older operators often recall tuning 80 meters on winter evenings and hearing a gentle background rushing sound, occasionally punctuated by crashes of static from distant storms. That was the natural sound of the band. One long-time operator once described moving into a rural cottage in the late 1970s. With nothing more than a simple dipole and a modest receiver, he could routinely hear North American stations at levels that seemed impossible today. Years later, after nearby housing developments appeared, he returned to the same location expecting similar results, only to find that the band was covered by a steady electronic buzz. The antenna had not changed. The receiver had improved. The environment had changed. Modern noise is overwhelmingly man-made. Switch mode power supplies, LED lighting systems, broadband networking devices, solar inverters, battery chargers, televisions, and countless electronic controllers now operate continuously in our homes and neighborhoods. Each device may individually meet regulatory standards, yet together they create a dense blanket of radio frequency emissions. Noise today is rarely dynamic. It is persistent, a steady rise in the baseline level of interference that quietly erases weak signals. Now at this time I would like to ask if there is any check-ins, questions, or comments from this part of the net before I proceed to the next narrator. This is 2Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel with the Thursday Information Net. Looking for any check-ins or questions or comments.
Golf Mike Zero, Uniform. Bravo, it's Graham here in Alva, Central Scotland. Hi, Deck, and everybody else. And hey, listen, I'm enjoying the night, and just listening and learning. So thank you so much. GM Zero UUB, staying quiet and learning.
Kilo 2 Hotel America.
Victor Kilo 2 Delta Yankee.
Okay, I recognize three stations. That is Golf Mike Zero, Uniform Bravo, Graham in Alloa Central Scotland, K2HA, that's Fred in Broomall, Pennsylvania, and VK2DY, Robert down in Australia. So, we'll first speak to Graham. I'm pretty sure you did just summarize what you wanted to say to me when you called in then, but I'll go ahead and hand it to you, see if you have anything else in particular to say, and just generally speaking, any check-in, check-in questions, comments, anything of that sort. Go ahead, Graham. GM0 UUB from 2Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel.
Oh, thank you so much, Declan. Great to hear you. This is GM0 UUB. And you know the Thursday Information Net, I quite often missed it. I know it only happens once a month, and quite often missed it, so don't know quite what the etiquette is. But I'm enjoying listening, and the noise is a thing that affects us all, that's for sure. So although I haven't got the HF set up here, as you know, for some years now, but once I get it back reinstated, which will be sometime, you know, it's always good to have some tools and understanding of how to overcome the noise. But first than that, Declan, just enjoying listening, and you do a fantastic job, and hi to Dave and Kathleen there, and of course Fred's there, and VK2DY is there as well, and everybody, absolutely wonderful. So thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be part of your net. And all I can say is from here in Scotland, all the signs are that spring has sprung. The daffodils are out, and we had a lovely sunny day today. The next few days are going to be dry, apparently. And so I've got my bike, well, it's my e-bike. I've set it all up today, give it a good clean and oil, and clean the brakes and everything else. And I'll be heading out my bike maybe tomorrow. So there we go. Started the bicycle season. There we go. Winter is over. Well, hopefully. Well, we don't have to wait and see. Anyway, Declan, you do a fantastic job. I've spoken enough. Back to you, sir. 2Whiskey0, Kilo Yankee Hotel. This is GM0UUB. Thank you so much, sir.
Okay, thank you very much there, Graham, from 2Whiskey0 Kilo Yankee Hotel. Well, no doubt, noise is certainly a persistent issue that happens to basically everybody on amateur radio. And also it happens as a very constant hum in these modern sort of in these modern days. I'm sure we'll have more information and a bit more depth on noise in amateur radio as this net progresses. But yeah, thank you very much there, Graham. And down here as well, it has been quite nice today. I think we got up into almost around 20 degrees Celsius, which is pretty nice for this time of year. Not sure off the top of my head what that is in Fahrenheit, but it doesn't particularly matter. It's been a pretty warm day, and it's been a pretty warm week in general, really, here. The rain has very much stayed away for a little while now. Which is quite nice indeed, because it means that we're having brighter days, and just generally speaking, the sun has been out a lot more, which has been very nice to see indeed. Well, anyway, hope yourself, Helen, and the puppy Odin are doing well over in Alloa, Central Scotland, and I'm going to go ahead and say 73 and move along to K2HA. That is Fred over in Broomall, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, thank you very much, Declan. This is Fred K2HA, the happy amateur here in Broomall, Pennsylvania, outside Philadelphia, at 43 degrees Fahrenheit here at present time. And we're going to be warming up a little bit this weekend and then diving right back down into the cold. Noise. You know, I moved here from Alaska, the noise was, you know, we're so far spaced apart that noise wasn't that bad in Alaska. But here in the Philadelphia area, it is really a challenge sometimes on the band. Sometimes I have a noise level of S5, S6, S7, and in the area, and it's very annoying. And then I'll go on to one of those ham radio operated SDRs around the country that are out further away, and boy, the noise is gone, and I can hear things on the band. So yeah, noise is a real problem, and overcoming it is a challenge. So I'll be interested to hear what's left the presentation tonight, and you're doing a fine job with your presentation. Thank you very much, Declan. And just want to say the greetings to everybody who's checked in so far. Peace and blessings. This is Fred, K2HA.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much, Fred, from 2Whiskey0 Kilo Yankee Hotel. And yeah, I 100% agree. The impact of noise can be varying depending on the area that you're in. And it can be an interesting sort of shock to the system sometimes when you go from an area where reception is really good to an area where noise very much dominates the band. It can be a little bit can be a bit strange to adjust to at first, but it's one of those things that people do get used to with time, I think. It's just a bit off-putting at first. And obviously, as we learn to manage noise, like we're going to likely be going into talking about as the TIN progresses, it obviously becomes a lot easier to manage the noise, and it becomes a lot easier to optimize the sort of signal that you're putting out, and to optimize your reception of other signals as well. And I think doing that with a good understanding of noise is very easy. So, thank you very much, Fred, and you have yourself a great rest of your day and a great rest of your week as well. Thank you very much for coming on here and checking in. I should be able to check in on the RagChew on Saturday night, which I am looking forward to. I'm pretty sure I am the net control for the AM connection this weekend as well, which I'm looking forward to also. And I think that's about it for me to say to you. So thank you very much, Fred. You have a good one, and I will go ahead and move along to speak to VK2DY. That is Robert, who is in Australia. Go ahead, from 2Whiskey0Kilo Yankee Hotel. And how are you doing today, Robert?
2Whiskey0Kilo Yankee Hotel. This is Victor Kilo 2 Delta Yankee, Robert in Northwestern Sydney, where it's currently 24 degrees Celsius, which is about 75 Fahrenheit or so, give or take. And the sun is shining. It's actually a beautiful autumn morning here in Sydney. Although you can really feel the day is getting shorter, it's getting dark now around 7 p.m. So definitely, and we go back to standard time in April, and then it's really going to feel like autumn. Anyway, thank you for the broadcast about noise. Yeah, noise is a big issue here. I live in a very highly urbanized area here. We've got houses all over the place, and yeah, trying to get around that noise is very, very, very difficult. I do note that there is an area on the west coast of Australia, in WA, that is set aside as a noise-free zone. I think it's like 150 kilometers in radius, and it's everything, all radios, all noise is banned there, and they have radio telescopes there that function as they function in the noise-free zone. So a lot of things, a lot of noise, even in the desert, even far away from people, there's still noise that gets through. So they've really set aside this one area that keeps things quiet. Anyway, yeah, it's something we have to deal with as a modern urbanized society, I guess. Thank you again for your broadcast, VK2DY.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much, Robert, from 2Whiskey0Kilo Yankee Hotel. Well, first of all, the day sounds quite nice for you. They're nice to hear that you've got some pretty good temperatures going there, and it looks like it's set up to be a nice autumn's day for you. Yeah, and with regard to noise and in terms of sort of urbanization, I do feel like that is definitely a huge contributor to all of the issues that people experience with noise tends to be coming from the sort of industrial air, industrial? I don't think that was the word I wanted to come out with. Urbanized areas where there's sort of a lot of buildings, a lot of things going on. Yeah, just the area being very built up can be sometimes an obstacle. As a whole, sort of clustered as a general sort of obstacle to being able to get good reception of signals or to get good transmission of signals either. And noise that is caused by all of the sort of accumulation of all of these types of machines, all of these types of systems that are working in the same sort of band regions as radio transmissions can be quite interesting indeed. So, thank you very much there, Robert, and I greatly appreciate you coming in and checking in today. I hope you have yourself a great day and a great rest of your week. And with that, I am going to go ahead and call for more check-ins for the Thursday Information Net. Any further check-ins, questions, or comments for this section of the net before we move along to the next narrator? This is 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel. Okay, no further check-ins, questions, or comments here at this time. So, with that, we're going to turn over to the next narrator for the Thursday Information Net. And the next narrator, of course, somebody very well known to me, whose voice you've already heard tonight, and that is Dave, Gulf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima, also here in Newport, South Wales. So, I hope you enjoy the next section of the presentation, and Dave, the mic is yours, you can take it away.
Okay, thank you very much there, Declan. Great opening of the program there. This is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima, also in Newport, South Wales. And I'll be continuing on with the program this evening. And then we're going to have a look at the changing noise environment. Now, to understand why operators perceive worsening conditions, we must consider how the electrical environment has evolved. Decades ago, most household electronics relied on linear power supplies. These were heavy, inefficient, and electrically quiet. Today's devices rely almost entirely on switching technology, operating at high frequencies. These circuits rapidly turn power on and off thousands or millions of times per second, generating harmonics that spread across wide portions of the radio spectrum. An operator once reported spending weeks troubleshooting poor HF reception, convinced his antenna had failed. SWR readings were normal, propagation forecasts looked favorable, yet signals were barely readable. After considerable investigation, he discovered the culprit was a newly installed aquarium heater controller in the next room. And when unplugged, the noise floor instantly dropped by nearly 3 S units. Now, stories like this are increasingly common. Another amateur described portable operation in a local park. Using the same radio antenna as at home, signals suddenly appeared strong and clear. Stations previously unreadable became armchair copy. The difference was not propagation, it was the absence of nearby electronic devices. And these experiences illustrate an important truth. Modern noise is often local. Okay, let's take a look at the noise floor and the signal-to-noise ratio. Now, to understand reception quality properly, we must examine signal-to-noise ratio, often abbreviated as SNR. This single concept explains why noise matters more than the raw signal strength. Signal strength alone tells us only part of the story. A receiver measures total energy arriving at the antenna, which is the desired signal plus all noise combined. The operator's ear, or decoding software, then attempts to separate meaningful information from randomness. Signal-to-noise ratio describes how much stronger the signal is compared to the surrounding noise. A signal 10 dB above the noise floor is usually comfortable to copy. At 3 dB above the noise floor, communication becomes challenging, but possible. At 0 dB, signal and noise are equal, and intelligibility depends heavily on modulation type and operator skill. Human hearing is remarkably good at extracting patterns from noisy environments. Experienced operators often succeed where automated signals systems struggle. recognizing speech rhythms and familiar call signs even when signals appear barely detectable on instruments. Bandwidth also plays a critical role here. Noise power increases with bandwidth. If receiver bandwidth doubles, noise power also doubles. Now this explains why narrowing filters improves readability, not by increasing signal strength, but by reducing the amount of noise admitted into the receiver. Digital modes exploit this principle aggressively. By using extremely narrow bandwidths and long integration times, modes such as FTA can decode signals many decibels below the audible noise floor. The signal was always present, the detection method simply changed. An operator once compared switching from SSB to a narrow digital mode during poor conditions. Signals that seemed absent suddenly appeared decoded on the screen. Nothing about propagation changed, only the effective signal-to-noise ratio. Now, understanding SNR reframes the operator's goal. The aim is rarely to increase signal strength dramatically. Instead, success often comes from reducing noise even slightly. The key concept in understanding reception quality is not signal strength alone, but signal-to-noise ratio. A strong signal surrounded by equally strong noise may be harder to copy than a weaker signal in a quiet environment. As the noise floor rises, weak signals disappear first. The band may sound empty, even though signals are actually still present. Now, many operators upgrading to modern radios expect dramatic improvements simply due to the better specifications. Occasionally, disappointment follows when real-world reception changes little. The limitation is no longer receiver sensitivity, but environmental noise. One operator, upgrading from a decades-old transceiver to a modern SDR, expected the to rediscover weak DX signals. Instead, the waterfall display revealed something eye-opening, a continuous carpet of noise across large sections of the band. The new receiver was not worse, it was simply showing reality more clearly. Modern equipment often exposes problems that older radios masked. Now, the type of noise that actually operators encounter. Noise presents itself in several recognizable forms, each with its own character. Broadband noise raises the overall background level evenly across frequencies. It often originates from power supplies or networking equipment and can make bands sound dull or lifeless. Impulse noise appears as sharp bursts or ticks. Electric fences, thermostats, or motor controllers commonly produce this type of noise. One rural operator spent months chasing intermittent clicks on 40 meters, eventually discovering a faulty fence energizer nearly half a mile away. Carrier-like noises produces steady tones or comb patterns. LED lighting installations are frequent sources. An operator once noted that every evening at exactly sunset, multiple carriers appeared across 20 meters. Investigations revealed automatic street lighting activating nearby. Now, recognizing the sound of different noise sources becomes an acquired skill, much like identifying voices on the air. Now, why modern radios cannot always fix noise? Modern receivers employ sophisticated digital signal processing. Yet, it is important to understand the limits imposed by mathematics and information theory. DSP, digital signal processing, operates after signal has already entered the receiver. By that point, signal and noise are inseparably combined. Algorithms can emphasize predictable features or suppress randomness statistically, but they cannot perfectly reconstruct information that never rose above the noise floor in the first place. Noise reduction systems typically analyze spectral or temporal patterns. Human speech contains repeating structures, syllables, pauses, and frequency distributions, which DSP attempts to enhance. However, when noise shares similar characteristics, the algorithm faces ambiguity. Excessive processing may remove parts of speech along with the noise, producing the familiar watery or robotic effect many operators recognize. Another limitation involves dynamic range. Strong nearby signals can raise the apparent noise level through receiver overload, or into modulation products. Even a high-quality receiver may struggle if exposed to large amounts of unwanted RF energy. A practical example occurred during a contest weekend when an operator noticed elevated background noise across several bands. The cause was not atmospheric conditions, but strong local transmissions driving the receiver's front end harder than usual. Activating attenuation actually improved reception. Counterintuitive, but a technically sound solution. Okay, I'll be looking for any check-ins, questions or comments. And if anybody has actually experienced noise, managed to cure it partially or totally, I'll be happy to hear from them as well. So any check-ins, questions or comments for this part of the of tonight's program? This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
Whiskey 4 Romeo Foxtrot Juliet.
Okay, we got Chief W4RFJ. Is there anybody else? Okay, it's only us two, Chief W4RFJ. Go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, I was gonna let it go, but you mentioned about experiencing getting rid of noise, and I have found the radio, the newer radios, the DSP, and I know I'm going to be talking about that, has been phenomenal. But where I get the most bang for the buck is by tuning the antenna and therefore increasing the Q and lowering the bandwidth, of depending on the type of antenna. But just to give you an example, I've got an off-center fed dipole tuned to 80 meters, and it works well to get rid of noise. I mean, out here where I live, the noise levels are like S5, S6 on days like today, and I've had days where I've had no noise at all, maybe an S1. And 40 meters, I use an NFED cut for 40 meters, and it does quite well. But I can't use 80 meters on the 40-meter antenna. The noise levels go up, signals go down, whereas if the antenna's tuned, signals go up, noise level goes down. But that's been my experience. Back over to you, Dave, W4RFJ, and top of the evening to Admiral Sue, if you ever get a chance to say hi to her for me.
W4RFJ from GW8-SL. Okay there, Chief, and that is entirely true. If you can reduce the amount of noise before it gets to the actual receiver, that is a big help. So the actual transceiver itself and its filtering doesn't have to work so hard, and that is very true. And I think we touch on that a little bit later on as well. So Admiral Sue is downstairs, and Declan's popped downstairs, and Lynette's on down there as well. And hope Admiral Charlotte there is well on the mend also. Do you have anything further there, Chief, from GW8SZL?
No, but I do want to add that, like I said, the noise is down, and the receive strength is it's dramatic, the difference. So yeah, getting that noise down before it gets into the radio is definitely key. Admiral Charlotte is doing fine. She's taking her medicine and doing her physical terrorist stuff, and she's just looking forward to getting back home. Thanks for asking, Dave. W4RFJ.
From GW8SL, that's great news there, Chief, and thanks for taking time out to be here this evening as well. Okay, is there any further check-ins for this part of tonight's program? Anybody had any noise problems, managed to cure them, or remove them, totally? Or didn't have any success whatsoever, or just pop in and let us know that you're out there just as a general check-in. This is GW8SL, live listening.
KV9EWG.
We have David, Kilo Bravo 9, Echo Whiskey Golf. Go ahead with your comments there, David.
Well, thank you, David. Good evening to you and everybody else here. Yeah, I personally didn't have the problem, but one of the members of our radio club, Greg, I can't think of his call right offhand here, but they ran this CapEx 2020 project with running new high-tension power lines through Wisconsin there. Shortly after they got done running all the poles and everything, Greg started having issues with noise on the HF side, and just about everywhere in the band it seemed like he was having noise issues there and couldn't, you know, it was hardly useful to him at all. And he been in contact with the electrical contractors and all that, and they actually flew in some specialists there, and they were tracking down the noise. And it took a couple of years of looking and tracking around and everything, and they finally found a single street light that had a bad grounding issue or something there that somehow was responsible for all this noise issue. Single street light causing all that noise issue there with the new power lines they ran through and everything. These were rather large towers with lines on them. They ran this CapEx 2020 project through, and like I said, Greg had a couple years worth of issues with noise and people coming in and trying to track it down. And like I said, they finally found it to that one single street light there. KB9EWG.
Yeah, KB9EWG from 2W8SLL. Okay there, David. Yeah, it can be loads of different sources, all different kinds of noise. But glad he managed to get it resolved at the end of the day. There's a lot of noise sources that you just can't, get sorted out. And even if you do manage to locate them, it's a nightmare trying to get people to sort things out. The equipment's working perfectly. Yeah, but it's generating noise at fault, No, it's working perfectly. There's nothing wrong with it. It's doing what it's supposed to do and stuff like that. Okay, anything further there, David? And thanks for joining us this evening. GW8SNL.
No, I wish I had more information on that in front of me here. Like I said, he a couple years worth of trying to track it down, and actually, because it was the responsibility of the contractors, with the new power lines and all that, they had to provide assistance. And like I said, they actually flew in some specialists there and everything else and used all kinds of different tracking equipment. And finally, they located the source there. I just thought, relative to what we got going on here about noise tonight, KB9EWG.
KB9EWG from 2W8SZL. You're okay there, David, and thanks for bringing that true life story into the net there as well. Is there anybody else who would like to pop in, got any practical experience of noise problems that they solved partially, totally, or couldn't solve? Or anybody who would just like to generally check in? This is 2W8SZL. Please call now.
KL4, KLN. That's Kilo Oscar 4, Kilo Lima November, Chuck in Alabama.
Okay, I've got you there, Chuck, over there in Alabama. Is there anybody else? Okay, we'll go over to you there, Chuck, Kilo Oscar 4, Kilo Lima November. Go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been on this net, KO4 KLN. I was kind of wondering if the Flying Pignet and Reg are still out there. I haven't heard him in quite a while. I click on every once in a while just to see if he's out there, but I haven't seen his name on the list for quite a while. So with that, KO4 KLM back to net.
KO4KLN from 2W8SZL with the Southcast Thursday Information Net. You okay there, Chuck? Yeah, Reg is retired, and there's another station. I think his name is Ron, and I can't remember his prefix, but the suffix is Kilo Romeo Oscar November. So Lynette is still actually running, but Reg has retired. Hope that helps. Back to you there, Chuck, from 2W8SZL.
No, I think that'll take care of it, KO4KLN. He's retired, but is he still active on the radio, and is the Flying Pig Net still out there? I'm just kind of curious about it. I used to click in there every once in a while. KO4KLN, back to net.
Yeah, okay there, Chuck. Yeah, the Flying Pig Net is still active, and also the Friday Night Tech Net. Both those nets are still on at exactly the same time, and you can connect up to it. Reg still call in every now and again, but not on a regular basis. How's that there, Chuck? Go ahead.
KO4KLN. Yeah, I'll thanks for the information. I'll have to check in tomorrow night and see if I can catch him. Is it about the same time as is right now, or what? I know you're on a heck of a different time zone than I am over here, but is it about this time? KO4KLN, back to net.
Yeah, okay there, Chuck, from GW8SZL. And your clocks went forward, so all of that from the U.S. are an hour earlier for me until our clocks go forward on Sunday the 29th of this month. Yes, it would be, I think. Let me just see if I can find out, because, right, where are we? Yep, so, yes, it's going to be, yeah, about this time, it'll either be at the top of the hour or at the top of the next hour there, Chuck. That's the best I can do for you, because I haven't altered my thingy on the website here. So whatever time it was with you last time, it'll be the same again, Chuck. Go ahead.
All right. Thanks for the information. I will be probably checking in tomorrow. It'll be about 7 o'clock Central Time in the States. So I'll keep checking in and just to see what comes up. But thanks for all the information. 73 to all listening, and all have a good evening, good day, good morning, whatever. I know there's people from all over the world on here right now, so it's good to hear everybody. So KO4KLN, I'm clear.
Yeah, okay there, Chuck, from GW8SZL. So yeah, you're about right there. That would make it at the top of my hour, because at the moment, Central Time's 5 hours behind where UTC, which we're on over here, and I say when our clocks go forward, we'll make a 6-hour differential again. Okay there, Chuck, thanks for popping in, and great talking to you, and hopefully hear you on another occasion. Is there anybody else, comments, check-ins, or questions for the part of this net before I pass it on to the next narrator, GW8SZL? Okay, this is GW8SNL, so W4RFJ, the chief over there in sunny Florida. And it's your turn there, chief. Take it away, my friend.
Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima, with the South Cars Thursday Information Net. This is W4RFJ. Thank you, sir. Quick audio check, please, before I move on.
Yeah, loud and clear, Chief. No problems whatsoever. GW8SZL.
Okay, very good. Moving on, these examples highlight an important principle. Noise problems often originate before digital processing begins. Antenna tuning, placement, filtering, grounding, and RF management frequently produce greater improvements than menu settings. Digital signal processing has transformed receiver design, offering powerful filtering and noise reduction features. However, DSP cannot fully recover signals buried beneath the noise. Noise reduction algorithms work by identifying predictable patterns. Random noise shares many characteristics with weak signals, meaning aggressive filtering can distort speech or remove desired audio. A seasoned operator once demonstrated this during a club meeting. He progressively increased noise reduction on a weak station until the background became quiet, but then so did the voice. The signal became smooth yet unintelligible. The lesson was clear. DSP improves comfort, but does not work miracles. The best solution is still reducing noise before it reaches the receiver. The home noise investigation. One of the most educational exercises any operator can perform is a systematic noise hunt. Several operators have described the surprise of discovering that their worst interference originated inside their own homes. Devices assumed harmless, phone chargers, smart speakers, and television accessories often proved to be the major contributors. A memorable anecdote involved an operator who shut off power to his entire house at the mains while monitoring using battery-powered equipment. The noise floor dropped dramatically. Thus turning circuits back on one at a time revealed multiple small contributors rather than a single offender. Each device added only a little bit of noise, but together they formed a significant problem. Noise management often becomes an exercise in incremental improvement rather than a single dramatic fix. External noise sources. Not all noise can be controlled locally. Urban environments introduce challenges beyond the operator's reach. Solar panel installations, broadband over power line systems, industrial electronics, and dense residential infrastructure all contribute to elevated noise floors, along with the chief's brain overthinking things. One portable operator recounted activating a hilltop location expecting quiet conditions, only to find strong interference. The source turned out to be a distant solar farm inverter array, audible across wide portions of the band. Even remote locations are not always electrically quiet anymore. This shift has encouraged renewed interest in portable and field operation, where escaping local noise becomes part of the operating strategy. Practical mitigation techniques. With a deeper technical understanding, mitigation strategies become easier to evaluate logically rather than experimentally. Noise reaches the receiver through multiple pathways, directly through the antenna, conducted along the power lines, or coupled into feed lines as common mode currents. Each pathway requires a slightly different solution. Common mode noise deserves special attention. Ideally, antenna systems carry equal and opposite currents that cancel unwanted radiation along the feed line. In practice, imbalance allows feed lines to behave like unintended antennas, collecting noise from nearby electronics. Ferrite chokes function to presenting high impedance to unwanted currents while allowing desired differential signals to pass. Their effectiveness depends strongly on placement and frequency characteristics. Multiple smaller chokes spaced along a cable often outperform a single large choke. Grounding also plays a misunderstood role. Ground systems do not eliminate noise directly, but provide controlled return paths for RF currents, reducing unpredictable coupling. Poor grounding can allow equipment cases and cabling to radiate or receive interference. Another technical factor involves antenna polarization and orientation. Man-made noise sources often radiate vertically polarized energy, horizontal antennas sometimes experience lower noise simply due to its polarization mismatch, explaining why modest dipoles occasionally outperform vertical antennas in noisy environments. Operators experimenting with receive-only antennas frequently discover significant improvements. Small magnetic loops or beverage antennas can reduce local noise pickup while maintaining sensitivity to distant signals. One operator described installing a simple receive loop primarily as an experiment. Switching between transmit antenna and loop revealed nearly identical signal strength, but dramatically reduced noise. The difference was not amplification, but selectivity in what the antenna collected from the environment. While eliminating noise entirely may be impossible, meaningful reductions are achievable. Operators frequently report success simply by relocating antennas away from buildings. A modest antenna placed further from noise sources often outperforms a technically superior antenna mounted close to electronics. Common mode chokes and ferrites can prevent noise currents from traveling along feed lines. One operator described adding ferrite chokes as an experiment, expecting little improvement only to watch the noise floor drop enough to reveal stations previously unheard. Directional antennas also help by reducing reception from noisy directions while favoring desired signals. Perhaps the most effective solution is distance. Portable operation repeatedly demonstrates how dramatically quieter environments transform reception. The psychological effect of noise. Noise influences not only technical performance, but operator perception. High noise levels can make bands feel inactive, discouraging tuning and experimentation. Operators may assume propagation is poor when signals are simply masked. Conversely, operating in a quiet location often renews enthusiasm. Many amateurs describe rediscovering their enjoyment of HF after experiencing low noise portable operation. Noise shapes how we experience the radio itself. Noise in the future of amateur radio. As technology continues advancing, the RF environment will likely become more complex. Regulatory standards balance practicality with spectrum protection, meaning amateurs must increasingly adapt rather than expect complete solutions from regulation alone. Future operating techniques may emphasize remote stations, shared quiet sites, and advanced digital modes capable of extracting signals far below the noise floor. Yet, the fundamental appeal of amateur radio remains unchanged. Communicating across distance using skill, experimentation, and understanding. Noise simply becomes another challenge, one that rewards curiosity and problem solving. You know, I also found out that you can eliminate the noise by unplugging the washer and dryer while the Admiral's trying to get the clothes washed. That helps get rid of the noise. Anyway, let's see, we're looking for check-ins, questions, or comments before we turn it over to the next narrator. This is W4RFJ, come now.
VK3HJQ, what's all this about? yeah, obviously reading something, Chief.
Hello, John. Yeah, we are in the middle of the Thursday Information Net, and this script that was... very kindly generated by our good friend, Gulf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima, is what I'm reading. I just got to the end of mine. Do you have any comments, questions, examples of how you found noise at your location or how you might have mitigated something? Anything you might want to add there, John? Go ahead. This is W4RFJ.
Yeah, W4RFJ and BK3HJQ, I only heard half of it. How do I mitigate noise? Well, I just tell Helen, stop talking, that gets rid of the noise. Well, I don't have any noise problems, Chief, because I don't use RF anymore, so not a problem. Anyway, I'm coming in through a new app called QSO Link via the SVX Link system in the UK. So that's how I'm getting in, just on my mobile phone. All right, but you keep continuing on. Sorry to butt in there. The thing was just scanning away and stopped here. W4RFJ from VK3HJQ.
VK3HJQ from W4RFJ and the South Cars Thursday Information Net. Well, John, you can jump in there anytime you want. Let me see if there's anybody else that would like to check in, have a comment, question. This is W4RFJ. Come now. Okay, well, I'm not hearing anybody, and I haven't heard any relays. Let's see if our next narrator is available. Kilo Echo 5, Alpha Lima Foxtrot, Greg, or Alien Life Form as we know it. Every time I say your call sign, my feline terrorists go hiding. Over to you, Greg. Have at it, W4RFJ.
KE5ALF to W4RFJ. Thank you very much. And, hey, my best regards to Charlotte there. I hope she's getting better. All right, I'm going to start mine with historical perspective, how the bands used to sound. To fully appreciate the modern noise problem, it helps to step back and consider how amateur radio operators experienced the band several decades ago. Many long-licensed amateurs describe a very different listening environment, not because propagation was inherently better, but because the background noise environment was dramatically quieter. In the 1960s through the early 1980s, most homes contained relatively few electronic devices capable of generating broadband RF interference. Televisions used linear power supplies. Lighting relied primarily on incandescent bulbs, and household appliances were electrically simple. While industrial noise certainly existed, residential noise densely remained comparatively low. Operators frequently recall tuning across HF bands and hearing large stretches of natural atmospheric noise punctuated by signals rising clearly above the background. Weak DX stations could often be detected simply because nothing else masked them. One veteran operator once described his first winter on 80 meters as a teenager. Using surplus equipment and a simple wire antenna, he could identify stations thousands of miles away purely by carefully listening. Signals faded with propagation, not interference. The band sounded alive, even between transmissions. Contrast that with many modern listening experiences where receivers reveal a constant electronic texture, a mixture of switching harmonics, digital emissions, and wideband hiss. The signals may still be present, but they compete with an artificial background created by thousands of independent devices. This historical comparison reveals an important insight. Propagation has not necessarily worsened. Instead, our ability to hear weak signals has been reduced by elevated local noise floors. Interestingly, portable operation often recreates the earlier experience. Operators activating rural locations frequently remark that bands suddenly sound open again. Signals appear stronger, not because transmissions changed, but because environmental masking disappeared. The lesson here is encouraging rather than discouraging. Quiet spectrum still exists. It is simply less common near dense electronic environments. A practical noise investigation from mystery to solution. Understanding theory is valuable, but many operators benefit most from seeing how a real investigation unfolds. Let us walk through a typical noise troubleshooting scenario based on experiences shared by multiple amateurs. An operator notices gradually worsening reception over several months. Signals once easily copied now require significant effort. Initially, propagation conditions are blamed. However, contest weekends and reports from other operators suggest the bands are functioning normally. The first diagnostic step is observation. The operator listens across multiple bands and modes, noting whether the noise level changes with frequency or time of day. Broadband noise appearing across many bands suggests a local electronic source rather than atmospheric activity. Next comes isolation. Operating from battery power while shutting down household circuits can reveal whether noise originates internally. Many operators experience a moment of surprise when the noise floor drops immediately after switching off mains power. In one documented case, an operator discovered that no single device caused a problem. Instead, several small contributors combined to raise the noise floor significantly. A network switch added one sunnet. LED lighting added another. A laptop charger contributed intermittent spikes, individually tolerable, collectively disruptive. The investigation continues by reintroducing devices one at a time. This process requires patience, but often produces clear results. Some devices emit noise only when active, charging or operating at specific load levels. Portable receivers or handheld radios become valuable tools during this stage. Walking through a home while monitoring noise intensity can quickly identify hot spots. Strong increases near specific rooms or outlets often reveal the source. External investigations follow similar principles. Walking around the property with a portable receiver may reveal noise strongest near power lines, neighboring buildings, or street infrastructure. One operator traced a persistent buzzing signal by slowly driving through his neighborhood with a mobile HF setup. The noise peaked near a particular utility pole, eventually leading to the discovery of a familiar insulator generating intermittent arcing. Reporting the issue resolved both the interference and a potential safety hazard. Another amateur identified noise from a neighbor's solar inverter by correlating interference levels with a sunlit intensity. Early morning and evening conditions were quiet, while midday produced maximum noise. Diplomatic discussion and fertile filtering reduced the problem significantly. These stories highlight an important truth. Solving noise problems often resembles detective work more than engineering. Noise awareness is an operating skill. As noise environments grow more complex, successful operators increasingly develop listening awareness as a core skill. Experienced amateurs learn to distinguish between propagation, fading, and local interference. They recognize repeating patterns, timing cycles, and specific signatures. Over time, the sound of different noise sources become familiar. For example, switching power supplies often produce a raspy broadband texture. Ethernet devices may generate evenly spaced carriers. Electric fences create rhythmic pulses. Once recognized, these sounds provide diagnostic clues. This awareness also influences operating strategy. Skilled operators choose bands and times strategically, seeking moments when local noise decreases. Late evening operation may coincide with reduced household electronics usage. Early morning listening often reveals quieter conditions before neighborhood activity increases. Some operators deliberately schedule weak signal work during these quieter windows, achieving results that seem impossible during daytime hours. Noise awareness transforms frustration into informed adaption. Instead of fighting conditions blindly, operators learn to work with the environment. Common myths about noise. As operators attempt to understand worsening band conditions, a number of persistent myths about noise tend to circulate within amateur radio discussions. These ideas often arise from logical assumption, yet they can lead operators towards ineffective solutions or unnecessary frustration. Addressing these myths directly helps clarify what noise is and what it is not. One of the most common beliefs is that modern receivers are somehow less capable than older equipment. Operators occasionally remark that radios were better years ago because weak signals became easier to hear. The Opposite is true. Modern receivers generally possess lower internal noise figures, higher dynamic range, and far more precise filtering. What changed was not receiver performance, but environmental noise levels. Older radios often mask weak signals beneath their own internal hiss. Today's quieter receivers faithfully reproduce the external noise environment, making problems more apparent rather than creating them. That's it for my section. If there's anyone out there right now with any check-ins, questions, or comments, please do it now.
This is the Victor Uniform 2, Mike Delta Alpha. Victor Uniform 2, Mike Delta Alpha. Sounder from India for checking.
Victor Uniform 2, Mike Delta Alpha. This is KE5AOF. It's your turn, sir. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Good evening, Mr. Greg. Today's net control on SCARS digital platform on EchoLink. Thank you very much, sir, for always letting me in for regular check-in on this platform. Here, Indian Standard Time around 5:45. Friday morning, 5:45 a.m. IST. Yes, I'm in walking mode, sir. Due to my speedy walking, my base are as usual ups and downs. I apologize for that. As far as WX weather conditions concerned, here right now 80 degree foxtrot. Throughout the day times it was very, very warm and sultry. In the evening, night hours also very, very warm and sultry here in India. Without air conditioner, we can't sleep. Nothing much particular in my side. Thank you very much for letting me in, sir. Mic back to Mr. Great Net Control from Victor Connected 2. Mic Delta Alpha Sounder from India. Standing by.
Victor Uniform 2, Mic Delta Alpha from KE5AOF. Thank you very much for checking in, and you have a wonderful day, and you may check in anytime you would like to, sir. Do you have any closing comments or anything? All right, seeing none, I'm going to turn it over now to our next narrator, KB9EWG, David, from KE5AOF. It's all yours, sir.
Oh, thank you very much, sir. Alien Lifeform, good to hear you here this evening. Good job. Okay, continuing on. Another widespread myth suggests that increasing transmitter power improves reception. While higher power may help others hear you, it does nothing to reduce noise at your receiver. Communications requires both ends of a contact to achieve adequate signal-to-noise ratio. Many operators discover that what antenna improvements or noise reduction measures produce far greater benefits than additional transmit power. A related misconception is that free amplifiers always improve weak signal reception in low noise environments. Pre-amplification can indeed help, however, in modern residential locations where noise already dominates additional gain, often amplifies noise just as much as signal. The result may be louder audio without improved intelligibility. One operator humorously described as installing a high gain preamp only to find that the noise became beautifully strong. The lesson illustrates that an important technical principle: gain cannot improve signal to noise ratio when noise originates before the amplification. Another myth holds that noise blankers and digital filters can solve any interference problem. While noise such as ignition systems. Continuous broadband noise often remains largely unaffected. Expecting DSP to eliminate interference can lead to disappointment. There is also a belief that all noise problems originate outside the operator's control. While external sources certainly exist, many investigations reveal that significant contributions from devices within the operator's own home, the increase in density of personal electronics means that self-generated noise has become one of the most common contributors to elevated noise floors. Conversely, some operators assume every noise source must be local atmospheric noise, solar activity, and distant industrial sources still play roles. Especially on lower frequencies, effective troubleshooting requires a distinguishing between local and propagated interference rather than assuming that a single universal cause. Another persistent myth suggests that newer housing automatically produces worse noise environments. While modern electronics contribute challenges, our careful station setup, filtering, and antenna placement can still produce excellent results even in a suburban location. Many successful stations placement can still produce excellent results even in suburban locations. Many successful stations operate from modest properties through thoughtful engineering rather than ideal geography. Finally, there exists a discouraging belief that noise problems are unsolvable. Experience repeatedly shows that is untrue. While complete elimination may be unrealistic, incremental improvements frequently produce dramatic operating benefits. A single SUNET reduction in noise can transform band usability. Understanding these myths reframes the operator mindset. Noise becomes a technical challenge requiring investigation rather than unavoidable decline in amateur radio itself. Emerging strategies for a noisy future. Looking ahead, amateur radio continues evolving in response to changing noise conditions. Remote operations has gained popularity, allowing stations located in electrically quiet areas to be accessed via the Internet. While some initially viewed remote stations as a desperate departure from traditional operation, many now see them as a practical adaptation to modern RF environments. Shared remote sites, club stations in rural locations, and distributed receiver networks allow operators to experience quieter spectrum without relocating permanently. Digital signal processing and weak signal modes, while likely to continue advancing. Future techniques may combine adaptive filtering, machine learning, and cooperative reception between geographically separated receivers. Yet, even as technology advances, traditional skills remain relevant. Antenna experimentation, careful station layout, and environmental awareness continue to produce meaningful improvements. Amateur radio has already adapted changing techniques, technical landscapes. Noise represents another stage in the evolution rather than an endpoint. Community cooperation and noise awareness. Noise management is also solely an individual challenge, or is not solely an individual challenge. Sorry about that. It is increasingly involves cooperation within communities. Amateur radio has long benefited from collaboration, and addressing modern interference other often require communication beyond one's own station. Many successful resolutions begin with a respectful conversation between neighbors. People are often unaware that the equipment produces interference, and cooperative discussion frequently leads to simple solutions such as ferrite installation and or equipment relocation. Radio clubs can also play an important role in sharing knowledge and demonstrating good electromagnetic compatibility practices. Group noise hunting activities, educational evenings, and shared measurement equipment help operators learn techniques that might often seem intimidating. In several regions, amateurs have successfully worked with local authorities or utility companies to identify infrastructure faults producing interference. Power line noise, failing insulators, and damaged equipment not only affect radio reception, but can indicate maintenance issues benefiting the wider community when corrected. These cooperative efforts reinforces one of amateur radio's enduring strengths, technical curiosity combined with public service. The value of experimentation in a noisy world. Perhaps the most important lesson drawn from modern noise challenges is the renewed importance of experimentation. Amateur radio has never been a plug-and-play hobby. Even each generation faces its own technical environment, and today's operators are adapting to a spectrum filled with devices unimaginable to earlier amateurs. Experimentation does not require complex equipment. Small changes often produce meaningful results. Moving a feed line a few meters, adding a choke, altering antenna height, or experimenting with receive antennas can all reveal surprising improvements. Operators who approach noise scientifically form hypotheses, testing changes, and observing outcomes frequently achieve better results than those searching for a single universal solution. The process itself becomes part of the enjoyment of amateur radio. One operator summarized the philosophy perfectly after finally reducing months of interference. The solution wasn't one big fix, it was 20 small discoveries. The statement captures the reality faced by many modern stations. Noise challenges encourage creativity, patience, and technical understanding, and qualifies that qualities that have always defined amateur radio at its best. In conclusion, I jumped off the page. Okay, in conclusion, noise has always existed in radio, but its character has changed. Natural atmospheric sounds have gradually been replaced by persistent electronic interference created by modern technology. Understanding noise transforms frustration into investigation instead of assuming a poor conditions. Operators learn to ask questions. Is the problem propagation equipment or environment? Every improvement moving an antenna, identifying a noisy device, operating a portable restores a little of the quiet to spectrum earlier and generations enjoyed. The enemy of modern radio is not noise itself, but misunderstanding it. By learning to recognize, manage, and work around noise, we continue the long tradition of experimentation that defines amateur radio. Thank you for joining this month, the TIM presentation. I hope tonight's discussion encourages you to listen more carefully, experiment more boldly, and perhaps conduct a noise hunt on your own. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are heading into the close of tonight's program. Do we have any further check-ins, questions, comments, or anything else for the net? This is KB9EWG.
K2HA.
Well, good evening to you there, Fred. K2HA. Go ahead there, please.
Okay, very good, David. Peace and blessings to you and everybody listening on the net. Well presented, and I want to thank all the narrators, and especially GW8SZL for doing the write-up for this presentation. Dave, thank you very much, and peace and blessings, everyone. This is Fred, K2HA.
Well, thank you, Fred. Good comments there, and I do agree. It was a well-written narration there, and nicely presented there, so thank you so much. Anybody else with questions, comments, or anything else before I secure the net? Okay, well, if anybody has any suggestions for a topic for the Thursday Information Net, please email us at voip@scarsvoip.com. That's voip@scarsvoip.com. This has been SCARS, VOIP, net schedules, and general information. May be found on our website, that's scarsvoip.com. I spell scarsvoip.com. This is KB9EWG saying goodnight in 7-3 to one and all, and returning the service to normal amateur use. This is KB9EWG. Now clear.